evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening. This is Brother Horace Robbins of the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas. And we want to welcome you to our program. The program is entitled Open Forum, Bible Questions and Answers. And we invite you to tune in and call in with all your Bible questions. We guarantee you, if you ask a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. We look forward to hearing from you this evening. We have on the line Brother L.C. Parker also. And we're also working in coordinate with the Darren Luke Church of Christ here in Brookshire, in Houston, Texas, where Brother Louis Parker IV is a local minister. And our underlying theme is B-I-B-L-D, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And we're very excited to be on the air once again with Brother Parker and Brother Brown. And we look forward to having a great time. Our topic tonight is a very interesting one, and we look forward to hearing from you. You hear all the time people using the phrase, you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. And that's very true. You understand that. But what we're going to say is, and also in just saying that, doesn't do any good to people if you don't tell them how to get Jesus in their life. You know, you hear that all the time. It's like when you go apply for a job and they tell you, you got to have experience. But if no one gives you the opportunity to get it, you'll never get the experience. The same thing applies here. When one says you need Jesus, but it doesn't do them any good to tell them that if you don't tell them how to get Jesus in their life. So we want you to call us and give us your ideas about that, because there are so many things involved in this that people need to be made aware of. So we're thankful to be on the air. We thank God for the opportunity to share with you his holy and divine word, the Bible. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, where I serve as a local minister. We invite you to all of our services at Sunday morning at 9:45. We have Bible study for all ages. Also at 10:45, we have our morning worship services. And on Wednesday at 7:30, we have Bible study for all ages. On the fourth Wednesday of each month, we have open forum night at our building. Yeah, the whole Bible study is all question and answers. And our motto is, the dumbest question in the world is the one that's never asked. So we invite you to ask questions, and we'll guarantee you ask a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. Brother Parker.
Yes, it's a very good pleasure to be here. You know, we are facing some most difficult times in America right now. The country is going down. We are embracing sin like it has never been done in America before. And every great nation that embraced the kinds of sins that we are doing now, they fail. And it won't be long before we fall if we don't repent. But those who are true believers, those that know that they got to have Jesus. See, the topic is, can one have Jesus without the gospel? Those that believe in the gospel, we have too many churches that are just doing anything and everything. It looks like a nightclub up in some of these churches. Good time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, because the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Not going to want to have it no more, but they're going to heap to themselves teachers, satanic doctrinal teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn their hearts away from the truth, and my God, be turned unto nothing but fables or lies. We're living that now. We're living it. Our Supreme Court now is about to just tear us on down. They'll be making some decisions by the end of the summer in regards to every state. This is what they're saying they're going to probably do. Every state is going to be able to have same-sex marriages. From the Supreme Court, the Bible warned us, for it's the leaders of these people that do cause us to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Oh, my God. Brother Robbins.
Yes, and what's happening, people are going by feelings other than what the Bible says. Too many people are unfortunately going down that road where they base everything on how they feel. You want to go to church to feel good, but the Bible never taught that. It's not about feeling As a matter of fact, we got a warning right there in the Bible where old man Isaac, when it got time to pass on the blessing to his son Esau, you know, Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. But the mother, Rebecca, she wanted Jacob to have the blessing, and she helped him to deceive his father by putting on Esau's clothes and bringing the food in that he had asked for, and putting on Esau's clothes and putting the smoothness of Jacob's arm, she covered it with goat's hair, made him smell like Esau by wearing his clothes. And old man Isaac almost caught him, but his eye was dim. He said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but you feel and smell like Esau." And he couldn't discern, and he wound up blessing the wrong one because he went by faith. And now by hearing, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Had he gone by hearing, he would have caught it. But he went by feeling, and he blessed the wrong one. And this is the same thing now. People are born by feelings other than going by what the Bible actually said. As we said, talking about can one have Jesus without the gospel? Well, the Bible is full of these package deals that God has. God has some package deals. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So too many people want to be saved by God's grace while blatantly ignoring God's truth. And you can't have it that way, because grace and truth came together. You can't have the one without the other. And this is what the problem is. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. Give us a call on the radio program. The number, I think Brother Brown has that number. But give us a call, 347-850-8256. Give us a call. We want to hear from you.
Please. Yes, please give us a call. You know, 347-850-8256. Call us, because this is most important. You may not be thinking it is right now, but ooh, hey, Lord, have mercy. We are degrading ourselves. In the Bible, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I have commanded you this day, and a curse if ye shall not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Ooh, Jesus, we got to watch ourselves in America now. America used to belong to God. One nation in our Constitution. One nation under who? God. That means under the authority of God. And we're going to have to stay under the authority of God and no other gods. All of this killing and everything else that they're doing, stealing. You can't steal better than me. You can't kill better than me. You can't wreck cars better than me. I'm just totally ignorant to everything. I'll destroy everything in my life. Hey, America, we need to stop it. We need to stop it. Brother Robin,
Brother Parker,
who's on?
We got a question.
Yes,
in. Okay, hold on. We got a question come. Yes, sir, hold on one second.
Okay, I'll hang.
I think this is from Brother Trey.
But yes, I'm on the air. Am I? Look,
yes,
I got a question. And yes. I am Church of Christ. But I'm in the body. How is it to be with a lady for, I say going on knocking about 13 years? Now, I'm not married. I want to be married. However, like, you know, she's stutter-stepping, but I'm doing what I do. Well, you know what I'm getting at. I'm a man. I have two children. They're not from my own body. I have a son, he's 21, and my daughter, she's 19. And she go to prayer for you. That's not too far from you, Brother Brian. Like, you over there in Brookshire, Texas. But
I'm Brother Robin.
Pardon me. I'm sorry now. I'm sorry on that behalf. But I'm just saying, I find it hard to be around the mama at times because I know my grandmother, Sister Sarah Lansley, you know, me and Nicole was supposed to have been married before she passed. No, she just passed April 7th. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I was trained right, and my fiance, she got baptized into the Church of Christ. Now, I'm perplexed and stuck with this problem here. Would it be wrong of me not to get married to her, or should I just go on and do the right thing and make her an earnest woman? You know, because at times, you know, I got women in my family, and women raised me, actually. You know, I wouldn't want no man to be stringing them along. They know how dudes do sometimes. Yeah, baby, I'm going to get to it, baby. And all that carrying on, all that dumb junk. Like, you know what I'm saying? But what I want to know, I need some scripture or just some knowledge y'all know. What would be the best course of action? And I'm going to shut up and listen.
Now, if I understood you correctly, you're saying that you want to get married, but there are some other things that's maybe hindering that?
I bought her a ring, and she smashed up my ring. But she smashed up my ring because I was kind of a rolling stone on their behalf. However, yeah. I'm not like that no more.
Yeah. I got a question to ask you, sir. Is she willing to marry you?
Yes.
Okay, so if she's willing and you're willing, then what's the problem?
Her, I suppose, but like you know how me and I want to put it off on a woman. I'm putting it off on her because, like, you know, I'm 38 and she's 48. So she's 10 years older than me, but I'm putting it off on her.
Well, let me tell you what Jesus our Lord said about that. It is always best to get married to avoid the other problem you're going to have without getting married. Jesus our Lord said this in Matthew 5 and verse 27. He said, "You have heard it said of them of old times, that thou shalt not commit adultery." He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall look upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart." So, you know, it is.
Amen. Amen.
To avoid them because they're not your sinners. See, so that's the safest course of action to take. Is going to be, and Brother Paul says in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's better to marry than to burn. And he meant that burning passion, you know, between one another, and then if you keep on doing that, you're going to burn another kind of way. You're going to burn in hell.
Yes!
The safest ground to take is to go in and get married if she's willing. Now, if she's not willing, that's a whole other bag of laundry there. But if she's willing, the best course is to go and get married. Brother Parker.
Yes, woo-wee. Thank you, Brother Robbins. And listen, Brother Trey, what you're talking about, you already married. You uncovered her nakedness. Y'all been living together. Woo-wee. You gonna mess around here and die and go to hell. She wants to marry you. If you look at Genesis, the third chapter, after the sin in the garden, verse 15, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Verse 16, "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." Now notice it, "and," a coordinating conjunction, joining two things of equal value together, "and thy desire," woo-wee, "shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." You're not a player or a pimp. You are to get married. She got baptized. She's ready to be married. And see, a woman has a desire for you. Don't play with these women's desire. Don't play with it. You know, the first time I ever looked at the wife before we got married, man, that's been 40-some years ago, looked at her, and I ain't stopped looking yet. We got married. Woo-wee! You don't die and go to hell, and you're going to take her with you if you don't go on and get married. You need to go ahead and get married. And make you, your grandmother was waiting for that to happen. It's not too late for you to try to save your soul, and she saved her soul, too, because she got a desire for you. You're not a pimp. You're not a player. And that's what a lot of these young men think. They think they're all that because when a woman had that desire for a man, she has a desire for you. And you need to fulfill it with the love and obedience to God. Yes, sir. You saying something?
Yeah, we got. Yes, sir. We got some questions, but let me bring in Brother Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Parker?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're live.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to follow up on that, you know, because I thought that's a good point, you know, about the fornication, adultery type thing. You know, Christians, you know, ought to be aware, you know, that the Bible teaches that we are sanctified, you know, which basically is the word that means set apart. And as such, we ought to live pure and holy lives. Holy in the original language is hagios, which basically means set aside for the use of God. You know, we're different from the rest of the world. So therefore, we must maintain a life of purity and practice a life of purity, knowing that we don't even belong to ourselves, but we belong to God. The way that Paul put it to the church at Corinth, he said that our bodies belong to God. We have been bought with a price, so therefore we should glorify God in our bodies. You know, so everything we do should be to the glory of God. And we know that if we're fornicating or we're committing adultery, if we're having sex outside the marital institution, or even if we are married, but we're having sex with people who are outside, you know, people other than our own spouse, you know, then we're not living a pure life, you know. But as Christians, we're called to live a pure life. So therefore, that's exactly what we should be doing.
Amen.
Also, I want to read over here in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, because that really brings this, the meat to the whole matter. In 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, we're going to start reading verse 1. Here's what Brother Paul says. He says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Period.
Amen.
Period. Nevertheless, thank God for nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise offer the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. He says, "Defraud ye not one another." Don't hold back and say, "I got a headache." He says, "Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency." See, so the thing is, marriage is always, on the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Marriage. So
amen.
Encourage us to get married. As a matter of fact, come next month, which starts tomorrow, we'll be celebrating our 33rd anniversary, me and Sister Robert.
Amen.
33 years of marriage. We'll be celebrating that next month, which starts on tomorrow. And marriage is encouraged by the Holy Spirit, because see, Christianity really is a family religion. There are roles that everybody has in a family, especially a Christian family. Husbands have their roles, wives have their roles, and the children even have theirs. So the idea is, the best thing, the safest ground one to take, especially if the woman is willing, it is best to get married. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much.
But Robert, I want to jump on that, because you referenced 1 Corinthians 7, and I'm glad you went there, And I believe what you said, how that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 really, you know, drive a nail through it, because that's the answer there. I don't see how you could get more plain than 1 Corinthians 7. Paul was very clear about what he was teaching. You know, and you know, so I don't have much to add to it, but I will piggyback off of it by saying this. When you explore the context of Corinth and the reason why Paul was writing them, but what happened is that they had a lot of questions for Paul. So in writing Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, what he was doing was responding to a letter that they had written him. You know, and a lot had to do with morality, you know, just moral issues, you know, because the surrounding society around them was a pagan culture. You know, they worship other gods, and in worshiping other gods, they will have in their worship services of these pagan gods, a lot of fornication and adultery would occur. So what happened is that Paul and Esther was writing them, letting them know that now you don't serve pagan gods, you serve the one true God. So therefore, since serve the one true God, you ought to live a life different than the way that you used to live. And I believe that every Christian needs to know that. We need to come to recognize that once we are in Christ, we got to live differently than the way that we lived in times past. What sense does it make for me to get baptized and continue to go in the same direction I've been going all along? Once I have become Christ, then I need to live a life worthy of Christ. I like the way Peter put it. Peter was quoting the Proverbs when he said, a man going, and I'm paraphrasing, a man going back to his sin is like a dog going back to his vomit and eating it. You know, what sense make for me to, for God to bless me out of my sin and bless me to be baptized and put on Christ Jesus, and now I want to go back to living the life that I've been living all along? It just doesn't make sense. I don't know about everyone that's listening, but I know that God's been good to me. And as a result of God's goodness, I'm going to live for him. I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. And we all need to be going forward, realizing how good God's been to us.
Amen. Yes. And something else think about. My Lord.
Brother,
we need. Yeah. Yes. Brother Paul. Okay,
come on. We got a question.
Okay, good. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brother Brown, you got a question? Go ahead. Brother Brown?
Got a question?
I guess not. No. Yeah, go ahead. You got a question?
Oh, no, I don't have a question. I just tuned in. Everything okay?
Okay. Thank you for tuning in. We got somebody else on the line. Got another minister on the line. Let me go to him right quick.
Yes.
Brother Estridge.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First of all, I just say hello to all the fellow ministers on the line, the co-laborers in the gospel.
Amen.
I'm just saying, just tuning in. Y'all got a pretty good thing going on here tonight, and I'm just sitting back enjoying.
Amen. All right.
Okay. If anybody got a question online, you press the number one button, and I'll get to you. If you got a question, press the number one button, and it alert me, and I'll get to you. But y'all can go ahead and go on with the show.
Okay.
Right.
I want to add also in that same context, as you know, in Corinth, there was at least five letters. There was a Corinthian correspondence. There were at least five letters. We only found two. That was at least five. But look at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul writes, he says, "And if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." With all that was going on down there in Corinth, the open prostitution in those cults and in those pagan temples and all that kind of thing, God has a law that we must all adhere to when you obey the gospel. See, out there in the world, all kinds of things going on. But once you obey the gospel of Christ, your life changes. And that should be some kind of effort on our part to maintain a wholesome Christian lifestyle. Because, see, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We can't be led by worldly concepts. Because now we're led by what Christ is. As a matter of fact, I got a phone call today, someone called, and they wanted to know, about the law of Moses that is. And I was trying to explain to them that the law of Moses is not for us today. They wanted to know about the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is not for us today. It's not for, it was never even given to us. We keep now the law of the gospel, the law of faith, the gospel of Jesus, what Jesus said. But see, many people have that same problem. They think the Ten Commandments is for us today, but it is not. The Ten Commandments, and I'm going record saying this, the Ten Commandments is not for us today. It is not for us today. But that does not give us license to freely commit sin. We keep the commandments of what Jesus said. Now, if you want to deal with that, call us up and we'll talk about it. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes, and remember this. Under the law, if you uncovered a woman's nakedness, she was your responsibility. King David had all those wives, and then Solomon had a whole bunch of wives. And if you uncovered their nakedness, that's how he had to take care of them. Woo-wee! We got to listen. And we got them around here doing anything and everything that they want to. Now the men fixed and start uncovering the men. Now, I don't know what you're going to call that. You know, and talking about they can marry. How can, you know, you are telling God he's a lie. And God is not a lie. That's why he's going to destroy us. He come talking about a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. And even when you go to the restroom, I go in the restroom and I be very watchful because now a woman might come in and say she's a man. You know, and a man can go in a woman's restroom and say he's a woman. All of that. You see how wicked this nation has begun to be. And other nations have done the same thing, and they fail. Because we at one time were one nation, under God, under the authority of God. But we're doing anything and everything we want to do. And sin is rampantly out of order. Romans chapter 1. All of the sins that's been done and announced from Genesis all the way through the Bible, they are now worse than ever. Ooh, I can do anything I want to do. You can go and kill a person and shoot them 20 times. I go and shoot them 50 times and cut their fingers and toenails off and pull their eyes out and hide them and go on everything. You can't kill better than me. You can't steal better than me. You can't lie better than me. You can't fornicate better than me. You can't do nothing better than me. We've gotten to be some hellions in America.
Yes, we need to understand what's going on with us. But our theme tonight, the question on the floor tonight is, can one have Jesus without the gospel? And the answer is no.
Amen.
No. You hear people all the time saying, you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus. But then when you ask, well, how do you get Jesus in your life? It's bad enough not giving the answer at all, but then give them the wrong answer. The wrong information is bad and no information. You know, it's just bad.
Amen.
It has the same result. So to tell people they need Jesus, but then you don't tell them how to get it or misinform them on how to get it, they're just as lost dead as they were before. So can one have Jesus without the gospel? The answer is emphatically no. It takes the gospel. Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus saves, but he saves us by the gospel. That's how he saves us. He don't just see you automatically. You got to obey him. And Hebrews 5 and verse 8, he tells us that he saved, he saved those who obey him. The 8th chapter, verse 5, brother. He saved those who obey him. If you don't, will Jesus save anybody that won't obey him? The answer is no. Because he put salvation in the gospel. He could have put salvation anywhere he wanted. He chose to put it in the gospel. That's why the gospel must be preached, that men may obey it. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much.
I'll just piggyback off of that. You know, one of the things is that if I wish somebody would. No, I really don't wish they would, but let me just put it this way. If somebody say that you could be saved outside of the gospel, or that you could have Jesus without the gospel, if anyone ever heard someone say something like that, that's a big manifestation of the person's biblical ignorance. You know,
amen.
Jesus himself is the fulfillment of the gospel. Jesus himself had to die. He was buried, and he rose again on a third day. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, he told the church at Corinth that same gospel, that's what I'm declaring to you, the facts that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again. So therefore, Jesus had to undergo those things, and he requires that we do the exact same. Through water baptism, we die to our sins, we're buried in the watery grave of baptism, and we rise again as new creatures in Christ. By the way, the gospel ain't nothing new. You know, Jesus didn't just come on the scene and all of a sudden start promoting the gospel. The gospel has been in existence before mankind. In other words, what happens is that before God even created man, then God had already a plan for man's salvation. See, God knew that he was going to create man imperfect, but also God knew that he was going to create man and give him free will. So as a result, sin was going to come. So God had to make a way to save man from his own self. So what happened, that way is the gospel. And we can read about that in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. He says, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, and these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So notice that the prophets, even before Christ was even born, the prophets, although they didn't know it, was preaching about the gospel. As a matter of fact, the gospel was preached way back in Abraham's day, whenever Abraham took his son Isaac, and there was a ram in the bush. Notice that God told Isaac to slay your only son. But notice that when Abraham went up Mount Moriah, before he even went up, he had told his servants, wait here, I and the lad will return. You know, that's the gospel. Notice that Abraham knew that if he was required to kill his son, before they came down up off that mount, God was going to raise his son from the dead, see? And that's the gospel. So therefore, we got to come and recognize, you know, man should not change God's plan for salvation. God's plan for salvation existed before man was even created, so therefore it's not up to Johnny-come-lately man to try to change what God had already established before man was even created.
Amen. I want to add something to that very same fact, because God preached the gospel to Abraham before it even took place. Here it is in Galatians.
Absolutely.
And verse number 8, the Bible says, and the scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through the faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, so the question would be then, how could God preach the gospel to Abraham before it actually took place? Most folks don't understand. When you study, you find out, as Brother Parker just said, it was preached by way of prophecy. See, it was preached by prophecy. When Jesus was walking on the scene, it was preached in preparation, and now it's preached in fact. All you got to do is study the Bible. It's been there all along. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much. Brother Parker.
Preach. Go on.
Brother Parker, we got some questions coming in.
Okay,
let me go to the phone lines. Thank this brother. Maybe we got Brother Estridge first, then Brother Trey. Hold on 1 second. Is Brother Estridge?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me? Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the topic for tonight. And Jesus without the gospel. You know, what I think is happening in the nation today is our people want to believe something. But what I think is happening is they're being misinformed. And people believe that they're believing the right things.
Amen.
And when I listen to this, it brings my attention to John chapter 8. And somewhere around the 40th verse, Jesus is talking to some Jews that say that they believe in Jesus. And they are misinformed. And Jesus is teaching them and telling them now, if you believe in me, he says, I'm the truth shall set you free, or shall make you free. And they proceeded to tell Jesus that we've never been in bondage because we are of the children of Abraham. And, you know, if you remember before that, Jesus had just told the Jews before Abraham was, I am. And so well, the point I'm trying to make is there are a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe Jesus. And Jesus told them, he says, now, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. See, that's the problem. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but to have salvation, you not only have to believe in Jesus, you have to believe Jesus. Because Jesus is the word of salvation. Amen? And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. So to have Jesus without the gospel is impossible because Jesus is the Word. You know, I just wanted to add that in there, brother.
Yes. You see, look at the topic. We're talking about package deal. What is the word and? The word and is a coordinated conjunction. What's the function of a conjunction? It takes two different things and puts them on equal rank. Jesus our Lord said in Matthew 13 and verse 44, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field, that when a man findeth it, he hideth it, and for joy thereof, he goeth and he selleth all that he had, and he buyeth the field. Why did he buy the field? He knew you couldn't have the one without the other, because whoever owned the field owned the treasure. Remember the story of Jeb Clampett on the Beverly Hillbillies? The guy was going out trying to find some food over because God was a mountain man in the hills, and on his own property, one day he was trying to find some food, and he found oil on his own land. That made him a millionaire. Why? Because he owned that property. See, you couldn't have he couldn't have the oil unless he owned. So like, hey, man, I mean, you see that. So God has the same kind of package. You can't have Jesus without the gospel because look at John 1:17. Here's also another one. In John 1:17, the Bible says in John 1:17, now the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You got too many people think they're going to be saved by God's grace while blatantly ignoring God's truth. You can't have it that way because grace and truth came together. So what's the word and? It's a coordinated conjunction. It takes two different things and puts them on equal rank. You can't be saved by God's grace while blatantly ignoring God's truth. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much.
And notice the Bible, how it tells us the basic instruction. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, for to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. You can't live a fleshless life and think that you're going to please God. You have to do as God has commanded us. You need to follow the basic instructions before leaving earth. We're all going to leave here one day, but follow the instructions and you'll go into glory land. Ooh, you'll be saved and you'll live a wonderful life here. There are a lot of people that live for stuff and things. What are you living for? Stuff and things. You can't take them with you. I know people who've had funerals want to take all the diamonds and everything with them. I want to do your funeral if you want to take all your diamonds, because I want to talk to the undertaker, and we're going to try to make some deal out of it. Give me some of that money off them diamonds and stuff that you're getting. Amen? One woman buried herself in a car years back, I remember, back in the 60s, in a brand-new, beautiful car. You think that car is still there? I don't know, but I doubt it. Amen. What can we take with us? The Bible says, naked. Ooh-wee. I came into this world, and naked I'm leaving this world. Thank you.
Yes, we got to take another question coming in. We'll go to Brother Trey again.
But I say, that's me right here?
Yes. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Well, no. I'm disagreeing. I'm agreeing with everything we just said. Brother Parker, thank you. Brother, man, you all are real spiritual on this behalf. Like, you know, I'm getting that. Y'all are very spiritual dudes. And anybody that's listening, I hope this all over this continent. I hope it's all over this universe, actually. Because y'all need to let people know, the things that's going on, and we need to come back to traditional values. And the traditional values reflect on what we're supposed to do. And it's not that you're not scripturally sound when you don't always adhere to what the scriptures say in print. But it's just, as long as you striving, like, you know what I'm getting at? Because I'm going to tell you what Big Mama used to say before she passed on April 7th. Bless her heart, Jesus. And she's up in the pearly gates, because there's no doubt in my mind that she didn't have to tell Peter to look the other way and sneak in there. She just walked in the valet treatment. But you kind of gotta be right. Like, you know what I'm getting at? Because if you ain't right, then you ain't gonna see the people that you really love. Because if you know something is wrong and you persist to do it, then that kind of say that you're not learning. And I've learned. That's all I got to say on that behalf, man. Cause, like, you know, I don't want to. But I've learned.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Abstinence is always the best policy. It's best to abstain. If you can't control these things, abstain from it. Leave it alone. Because if you choose to sin, it's going to gain dominion over you. In Romans 6, and verse 16, Brother Paul says this. He said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine will deliver you, being made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness. See, so if you, he said, in essence, whatever it is you yield to, you're going to be a slave to it. If you yield to fornication or lying or stealing, whatever it might be, or immoral, if you yield to that, you're going to be a slave to it. Satan or sin cannot have dominion over you if you don't yield to it. If you yield to it, it's going to gain dominion over you. It may seem too innocent to begin with, but as time goes on, you're going to get weaker and weaker. After a while, it becomes a part of you, it becomes common. After a while, it's not going to phase you. So therefore, it's best to abstain from it. But the Paul says, you were the servant of sin, but when you obey from the heart, then from the doctrine, then you abstain from those things. Abstinence is always the best part. Thank you very much. One more call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much. Bill Parker.
Yes. And you know something? With the subject we're discussing tonight, we need to look seriously at this issue. Can one have Jesus without the gospel? We have, listen, our churches in America, at one day, back in the day, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, people respected and they taught their children how to respect the elders and their moms and dads and everything, raising up children the right. They didn't spare the rod. But look at us right now. Ooh, the church has become another nightclub. You can leave the nightclub at 2 o'clock when they close down. I know in Texas area, they'll close down at 2 o'clock. Then they go to the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, and then they commit fornication, adultery, or same-sex kind of thing, men with men, women with women. And then, hey, Sunday morning, come to the Sunday morning clubhouse, because the preacher's just interested in the money and the honeys. He going to tell them what they want to hear, make them feel good, put that music in there like the nightclub, entertaining them, oh, on Sunday morning to pass that plate, get that money, and get that honey. You got women in there, you got a wife and all kind of first ladies and things, and not first ladies, but his wife is the first lady, but all the rest of them is little honeys and everything. Isn't this pathetic what's happening now? Churches have become, many churches have become nothing but hell holes. Corporate Christianity. All about the money and the honey. We better get right. Get right. Amen, if we want to stand. But the good thing is this. Remember this. God has always protected his own. Even in the Bible, he has always saved his own. We're going to lose some, but he saved his own. Those that do right will be spared. So in America, we got to wake up and then spare those that want to do right. Amen. And some of us preachers got to stand up there and tell it like it is. Don't cut nothing off, and God's going to get behind us and show them what he means. You think that that earthquake that hit overseas just and killed about 4,000, 5,000 people and like that and destroyed all that stuff? Look, those people are planning to overtake this country. But God is letting us be spared because some righteousness is still here. The Bible, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. Jesus. Jesus, help us. Come on. Next.
You know, one of the things about the gospel, like you just mentioned, that's a good point, that his word will stand forever. You know, so the gospel is here is for us to believe, and I just pray that there is somebody in the audience who's willing to hear that gospel, that the fact that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again a third day, and that they would just believe that. And believe that Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they'll be willing to repent of their sins, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized. You got a lot of people out there teaching that baptism is not essential unto salvation. In other words, what they're saying is that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. But that's not what we see example of in the Bible. In the Bible, people who wanted to be saved were baptized. As a matter of fact, Acts 2:47, that the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Those that were being saved were those who were being baptized, Acts 2:38. So therefore, you must be obedient to the gospel. I like the way Brother Eskridge put it earlier. You don't just believe in Christ. You need to believe Christ. You know, so that's what we got to do. We got to go with what he said. Don't go by what man said. Man tell you all you need to do to be saved is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. See, you're not going to find that in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, I don't believe in teaching it. I believe every preacher ought to be like that. Yeah. You know, but you're not going to find that in the denominationalism. They're going to preach what they want to teach. You know, they're going to preach what they went to school to say. But we need to stick with what thus says the Lord. We need to stick with the word of God.
Amen. And they tell you this. If you believe in Jesus, just open up your arms and receive him into your heart. Jesus came to preach for you to come to him, not he come to you. He came here and he lived that life. He set the example. That's why we teach his death, burial, and resurrection as we do. You know, you become dead to the love and practice of sin, buried in the water of grave of baptism, rise therefrom a new creation, a creature, in Christ Jesus, John chapter 3. We need to understand that you come to Jesus. And I heard one woman that was preaching on radio, and I don't can't find nowhere in the Bible where a woman's supposed to be a preacher. But she said, listen, all you got to do is listen to what I say and receive him into your heart and send me $35 and you in Christ. Woo-hoo! We need to cut this foolishness out. Nick?
Yeah. You know, what the problem is, people not going to the Bible to see what the Bible actually says. They wouldn't believe something they could see on TV. And they think TV is real. And we all know TV is not real. That stuff is not real.
Amen.
Those people in Hollywood, they are actors and actresses. They are being paid to act. You know, those people are not really, like, you know, real cowboys. They are acting like cowboys.
Amen.
Those people are not real bank robbers. They're acting like bank robbers.
Amen.
We're sex folks. They're not really having sex. They're being paid to act like they're having sex. That stuff is not real. That's not real. But out here in the world, like, we don't know. This is real. This is real. So I'm trying to tell you, go back to the Bible, because the gospel is what God, where God put salvation. This is real. But Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to who? Everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also, then he says, for therein, meaning in there, in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, everything that just shall live by faith. So here's the question I want to ask. Where is God's righteousness found today? It's only found in one place. Brother Paul just told us it's found in the gospel. So if a man will be righteous before God today, he must obey the gospel. The number to call is 347-850-8256. Thank you very much.
Amen. And what we're dealing with tonight, we'd love for you all to call others and get them online to come in, ask their questions. It is time for the word of God to be exalted in this nation. Preachers, get back on your job preaching that word. And Paul said, preach it in season, out of season. Preach it when people lack it. Preach it when people don't like it. And right now, we're in a stage where people in America do not lack the gospel. They want you to shut up. Tell them what they want to hear. Shut up, because I'm doing what I want to do. If I want to marry a man, that's my business. I got a right. I have a civil right to do. You a lie, and God is not it. You are lying, and God's going to punish you for it, too. Even before hell, right now, he's going to make this country fall. And if we as Christians do what God said to do, he always spares his own. Don't ever forget it. Members of the body of Christ, that's members that obeyed the gospel of Christ by hearing, believing, repenting, and being baptized, and then living right, you will be spared because your life will help you live right. Yes, next. Anyone else got questions?
Number to call is 347-850-8256 for your question or comments. Please call us.
Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. Brother Erickson, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wanted to add real quickly, the things that are going on in this world, we need to understand something. We need to understand who's the author of what's going on. When we look at Revelation chapter 12 and starting around verse number 7, you know, the Bible talks about the war in heaven, how Michael fought against the dragon and his angels, and they were kicked out of heaven. And when they were kicked out of heaven, the devil was kicked out with a mission. And his mission, according to scriptures, was to deceive the whole world. Now, how does the devil deceive the whole world? So we have to be aware of his devices. And everything that God has, Satan has something like it. Now, what I'm talking about is what we need to understand with the devil and his deceit. You know, he uses religion against us. You know, he wants us to believe what we want to believe, but that's deceitfulness, right? So what happens is, for whatever you want to believe, see, he's got something for you. But what we ought to be able to see in this denominationalism is the fact that even the denominations don't agree. You know, you got some that say that, oh, we should worship on Saturday, or some that say women can preach, or, you know, all these different beliefs. They don't believe the same thing. But the gospel speaks plainly. It speaks plainly. You have preachers preaching, oh, like Brother Parker said, that you don't have to be baptized. When I look at Mark 16 and 16, the Bible says, go ye into all the world, teach the nations. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
He that believeth not shall be damned. Again, Ray pointed out, Brother Parker pointed out in Acts 2:38. They asked, brothers, what shall we do? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So you can't, how can you tell somebody something when the Bible plainly speaks? And then their favorite verse is Romans 10. They run to Romans 10, you know, just believe in your heart and you shall be saved. But they don't go on with the rest of the story. They don't read the rest of the scripture. Well, the Bible teaches, he said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? There's more to that than just believing and confessing. You know, the Bible does not contradict itself, but what the devil does is he tries to confuse us. See, that's one of his devices. He confuses us. And as I think Brother Robbins was speaking on earlier about the feeling. The feeling, it feels right. It feels right. You know, and what kills me the most is, you know, when you preach the gospel, you have those that say that I just can't see, where God will only save those that's in one church. Well, the Bible deals with those who say they just can't see. Because, see, the devil prepares you. He prepares your heart. He prepares your mind to reject the gospel. You know, you could tell somebody, show them in the scripture, and the first thing they holler is, my mama died a Baptist, so I'm going to die a Baptist.
Right.
My daddy was
right,
a Baptist.
Right.
I'm going to die a Baptist. But the Bible says they have closed their eyes. That's why you can't see it. And Paul also said that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost. If you're not seeking the gospel, you're not going to find it.
Amen.
That's all I wanted to add.
Yes, sir. We have about a minute and 30 seconds left in the show. Do y'all want to have any closing remarks real quick?
I'd just like to say we just happened to have been on here and looking forward to you next week, Brother Robbins.
We just thankful for the opportunity to be on the air and show that this program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas. Where we invite you to come to all of our services, also in connection with the Darrell Luke Congregation here in Houston, where Brother Louis Parker Ford is the minister. And we invite you to come to all of our services. And please, we invite you to ask questions, because truth has nothing to fear. The dumbest question in the world is the one that's never asked. Tune in next Thursday. We'll go to the center. And thank you, Brother Parker and the staff, and all of the
on the panel today.
Thank you very much. May God bless you and may God keep you.
Thank you, Brother Ryan.
Okay, hey,
if anybody has a question.
Okay,
go ahead.
Brother Parker
Fulton. Hey. No, thank you all. If anybody got a, think we got another question, but it's from the time has ended, so it's going to hang up in like 15 seconds. So just call back next week and we'll make sure we answer the question.
Can you let them ask their question, and we'll be thinking about it and get it? So,
yeah,
but Robin, right? Okay.
Oh, man. Okay.
You,
all right.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You were talking about the, and I agree with you. God is not the author of confusion. And you were talking about in terms of baptism, you know, and instruction to have baptism. And when you're doing the will of God, I'm just asking a question. When you're doing the will of God, did the will of God ask you to baptize? Or is this the gospel? What I'm saying, sometimes we get tied up into rituals. There's nothing wrong with baptism. I'm not saying that. But I can't justify a person that doesn't get baptized versus a person that do the will of God. Because the will of God is going to be the winner. Not because you get baptized through the will of God. Now, baptized, you understand what I'm saying?
We'll deal with that all next week because we're out of time. I hate you call so late into the program.
I know. But we'll get back on it. We're back on it. And thank you so much, brother.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You,
and
thank you for developing this program. I'll get back on you next week.
Yeah. Okay. Get some, tell some other people who are called, okay? Get
we'll
other people
that.
You know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yes, okay.
We'll deal with that on next week about the will of God and baptism. We'll deal with that on next week. Thank you very much.
Amen.
God bless you. God keep you. All right.
Amen.
We're signing off.